We are in Halakha Dalet, Perek Sheni of Kilayim, Bab Tet Amud Aleph. Harotze laasot kadehu, meishar meishar mikomim. So Beit Shammai omrim shloshat lamim shopatia, Beit Hillel omrim melo haol hasharoni. Uklovim divrei elu, meiyot divrei elu. Somebody who wants to now have two rows and the proper distance between his rows, in order to have various species in adjoining rows. So Beit Shammai says you need a distance of 3 tlamim of patia. So that means the normal type of plowing, which we saw before, that is essentially 2 amas. You get 3 rows in every 2 amas. So here, he doesn't want actual fields of different meaning, because an actual field requires a whole space of a field, a beit rova, in between the two fields. He says, I have a small piece of land, I want to use it efficiently. I'm going to have just rows. And in a row, I don't have to be marchik a beit rova. I only have to be marchik this year. Beit Shammai says, shlosha kilometer shopatia. That means you take the distance between the outermost of 3 furrows of your first opening furrows, the Mahareshan, or the Batiach, is that which opens the karka. Beit Hillel says that it's actually measured by the yoke of oxen that are in the Sharon. Because it's different if you're in the plain, the Sharon is the plain. It's different if you work on the plain, if you work along the edge of mountains where they keep things smaller. In the Sharon, they use a large yoke. And the truth is, Krovim Dibreyevo, the Yoki Dibreyevo. The difference between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is more a matter of how you look at it than how you measure it, because both of them boil down to 2 amas. So now, Rabbi Zeila and Rabbi Lozer, the same Rabbi Hiya, Rava, they say that what you can do over here, when it says you need 2 amas between your rows, it doesn't mean you need 2 amas along the whole row. What you do is oteh shtei amot al shtei amot umeitzar v'holeh afilu kol shehu. As long as you start with 2 amas worth of 2 amas at the beginning, you can then have one of the rows come down at an angle and hit the first row. So it looks like a straight line on the bottom, straight on top, and then moves down. And then it can actually come all the way down, kol shehu, up to almost contact with the other row. So that, again, remember that the principle over here is Ma'ariv Ayin. What does it look like? The beginning is established as a separate row, and it's also clear you're not mamish mixing, you're just bending towards that direction. So it's a type of thing like a Rochefort, essentially. We said that whenever you have a clear-cut graphic distinction between 2 areas, that they're not considered to be Kilayim. Omer Rabbi Yona, how does the Tamar Vasya Meisharim Meisharim? Let's make this very clear, that this only works when you have 2 rows. Avabasuyam meishar echad lo beda. If you were now planting all along a row that is next to a field, that is not going to help you. You need a rova distance between a meishar and a field. If the field now extends its field over the adjacent areas. The Asya Kahadi Omer Rabianai, and now this din of being able to fit various things in is, as Rabianai pointed out, the Yoko Ana Zara Hakli Khamshin meaning Esrim Vakhamshamika, Yosrim Vakhamshamika. What I could do is I could actually have a very effective way of having a field that's got 50 different species in it, by making sure that I don't make a field, but by making 2 rows. And in each one of those 2 rows, what I can do, and we're assuming now a standard size of 100 amas, what I can do is I can plant 24 species by utilizing a Rosh tour. If I use a Roche tour, then it works out. If you want to take a look at these various diagrams, people who diagram this, and here's how he diagrams it. So what he has is like this. These are the two rows, okay? Now these two rows extend now 100 amas together. We have 2 by 2 areas, that's square. So we have basically 2 amas between the two rows, okay? But once we've established the 2 amas between the two rows, even if we cross and we bring a Roche tour, let's say we call this area here Sa'ori. Somebody have a pointer I can use? Pen, something, sure. So let's say we have over here a pointed area which we plant Sa'ori. Here we can plant Sikkim. Oh, nice. And these are the 2 rows. Going on for 100 amas. 1 and 2. But the minim cross over the 2 amas between the rows, and they make a Roche tour. So we have, there was a very pretty graphic, right? And it turns out that in every 4 amos, I basically have managed to plant 2 minim, right? So I have these 2 minim and these 4 amos, these 2 minim and these 4 amos, okay? Which now allows me to have 50 different minim in these sets of 2 rows. Because what I'm doing is I'm taking advantage of both ideas. I'm taking the advantage of the idea of a meshar as opposed to a tzadet, which only demands 2 amas between the rows, and I don't need my beit rova. And then I'm taking advantage of the figure we had before, that if you can bring a rosh tor, you can bring a rosh tor even up to a square. So fine. So then in this case, I can bring my rosh tors up to rosh tors, and I get myself 50 different men, basically for free, without problems, up till I am over here.
What do we do about spotted
here? Is that one? No, it's not. It's very clearly graphically delineated. It's not spotted. Okay, so this essentially is based on what we were saying. That if you have 100 amas by along 2 shulot, then it works out. Says the Gemara, "Af b'shtei tzadot kein." Now, if you have 2 fields, we would like to know. Oh, I'm sorry. If we have 2 fields, let's say we have a chitim and a sa'orim field, where normally you need to be marking an entire beit rova between them, not 2 amas. Can you do the same thing over here or not? Now here's the case. What we'd like to do over here is extend out the field. Here we have our sa'orim field. So we want to extend a row of additional sa'orim within the beit rova, and a row of additional chitim within the beit rova, and have them within 2 amas of each other. Instead of leaving this whole area blank in order to avoid shalayim, could I also do that? Right, which basically gets me an additional 4 amas of planted area in that beit rova, which otherwise would have to go to waste, because it's all viewed as shalayim. Because if you're telling me that by taking rows, I'm avoiding the problems of fields, then maybe if I put rows even in an area that was meant to be set aside between fields, I can now view it as row area instead of field area. Could I do that too? Okay. Or, do we say that in this case, being as the fields exist on either sides of the rows, that the rows are essentially buckled to the fields. There's no way that you can do this. Now what you have is you have fields that are closer than a beit rova. And that's us. That's our abaya over here. So, question number one then. Apishtei sadotkari. And me'ata apilu beino lebing chaveiro. We should furthermore say that in a case, and this is a very cute case, In a case where two different people own fields, there we don't have to be market. If, let's say one guy has a field that is a chitin field, and I own a sa'orin field. It's very clear that this is my field, and that's his field. Over there, I do not need a harchaka. It's only in my own reshus, if I have different squares, I need a harchaka of a rova between them. So given, then, given that that's true, if I have another guy's field next to my field, what I should be able to do is this. In the fourth picture over here. Because I can put my sa'orin all the way up to the other guy's field. So that I'm allowed to do anyway, even if it were a field. Right? But it's only a row of sa'orin. It still gives me a right to have a row of chitin within 2 amos. Once I have a row of chitin, oh, who's going to bother me about my field of chitin next to it? Right? So therefore, I got a real shop over here. And maybe we should say, after kurva came, could we also take a kurva? Remember, the kurva is a non-delineated field. And we said before that if you have any way of breaking out in an undelineated area to create a Rosh Tor, that would be mutter. But if you take, let's say, one gardier, then you can make pretend that it's part of a Rosh Tor, wherever it is that you want. Remember, we had that figure before. So now, you should also be able to say that if you have a Meshar, you should be able to take a Yardir Asad, put it next to a Meshar, as long as you have a Kurva next to it, because it's the same as the Alak stone. So if you take this, let's say, picture like this, where we can pretend that there's a Rosh Tor, even though it doesn't exist yet, here, even though it's in a Shura, you could say that little gardier of the other men is the beginning of a Rosh Tor. So let's view it as a Rosh Tor, maybe. Or do we say no? A Rosh Tor is only where it's up against a field, not where it's up against a row, which looks like you just have a mixed row. It's also a question. So all these issues have been raised here in the context of the shita that we just explained of Rav Yona, and we really don't know exactly how to paskin these. And this would be, as Rish Lakish said before, B'shem Chizkia, that a Rosh Tur, Abba Mechurva, is Mutter. Rebbe says, I disagree with you. I hold that you need a base rova, not 2 amos. Between the Meisharim. You seem to have worked out this idea of having less than a field. It's not true. You could makula beit rova umeter v'holes atzlosh etzlamim shapatiyah. You guys have it all wrong. The machlokas beit shami beit hillel is not what the distance is between the two Meisharim. It's what the minimal distance is between the two Meisharim. So you said, oh, if that's the distance, so let me just have the first piece that distance, 2 amos, and now the rest of it might as well just come all the way down and touch on the other end. I say that it's the minimum. You can come down odd on an angle, you can get as little as the, okay? So you can get down as little as 2 amos at the end. Not the way you're saying you could start with 2 amos and come down to nothing. You start with a base rova, which is 10 amos. Then you come down not to nothing, but to 2 amos. In other words, according to Rebbe, the picture, the correct picture, instead of this, which was the original picture of the way that we understood it, it's now this. You start with 10 amos. Number above. Start with 10 amas, you can always get as close as the 2 amas here. Which are the shlosha pearls. Right? Okay, so you have to be matzil beit rova, meitzav alachat shlosha tlam. So, what does that mean now? Which the Gemara changes the gear to read. The less way the Rabbanan, and don't the Rabbanan a hole over here. That which Rebbe says, that you can have over here the two amos, and that the shear should be a base rova. Doesn't it say that? It says tzurah is a base rova, as we'll see later on. Yes, but they say, come on, the Meruvah, and the Meshar. Of course you need a base rova, but only between square fields, not between long rows. Because rows are mine ube, separate. They don't look like they meant to belong together. So that's why they were saying, not like Rebbe, that the whole din of base rova doesn't apply. And that the way to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is giving a new primary shear, not a secondary shear of how much you can get away with after you've been marked the base rova. So that's dafka when it's been ruva, the time the Meshar. The less the Rebbe Meshar. Doesn't Rebbe know that it's enough to have two amas and a Meshar? Yes, of course. He doesn't argue in the Mishnah. He's saying Sof Meshar. All that's happening over here is Sof Meshar la Rebbe, Chilas Meshar la Rabban. Let's make it very clear. Rebbe is explaining the minimum shear as being two. At the end, after you've already gone Ba'alakon, the Rabbanan are saying this is the maximum shear. At the beginning, when you're starting, before you start bending Ba'alakon, nobody's arguing on anybody about the shear. They're only arguing where does the shear apply. Whether the din of the base rova is set only on a merubah. That's what they're arguing on. So now it's very clear. Says Rabbi Azar, he asked, what would be the din of Haitha Sadeh Kitana Mahu?